In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearest faithful, as has been our recent custom in these last few months, we begin with questions to ponder. The first question is this: how close does God desire to be with you, to be with us? And the second question then, that makes perfect sense to follow: how close do we desire, but particularly each of us individually must make and ask a question of ourselves: how close do I desire to be with God? Now, these same questions were posed by me years ago to a class of little ones preparing for First Holy Communion. How close does God desire to be with you was the question. And there were many and varied and sweet and bizarre answers. But there was one that has stuck with me and that I think is absolutely spot on. God desires, this one little one said, God desires to be closer than close with us. Brilliant. Truth brilliantly expressed in the simplest form. God desires to be closer than close with us. And so if God desires that level of intimacy with us, do we desire the same thing? Are we willing to enter into that kind of intimacy with God? A closer than close relationship with God. We know the Hebrew people of the Old Testament, and even in the days of our Lord, experienced their connection with God primarily, if not exclusively, through the law. Through the law. And I think we can intuit fairly simply that there's very little intimacy possible if our relationship is purely with a set of rules. It's hard, if not impossible, to have a relationship with inanimate tablets or rules on a page. Contact with the lawgiver did come through an initial set of tablets for the Hebrew people. But then from those tablets came any number of additional precepts and regulations, to the point where, sadly, the people became slaves to the law. The God of the law was distant. The God of the law was perceived as harsh and even vengeful. And the law by itself had no ability to cause the people to want, to desire to be faithful. Infidelity to God was more the rule than it was the exception. God the Father knew that, he knew from all time that at some point there would have to be a paradigm shift. There would have to be something that would cause the people, the beloveds, to want to be in a relationship, to want to be faithful, to desire faithfulness over all else. You heard it in the epistle today, and if you pre-read it, you knew it. You knew that there's a paradigm shift expressed there by Paul in the epistle to the Galatians. God sent his Son, and he didn't just send his Son vaguely. He sent his Son so that divinity was enfleshed. God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Enfleshed divinity. Sent to redeem and transform those who had become slaves of the law so that they could have their true inheritance to be children. Children of the Father. Children of the patrimony. Children heirs to all of the good gifts that the Father wished to give. But more than anything else, a new type of closeness, a new type of intimacy was possible. Not guaranteed, but possible. The gospel prefigures for us what we will celebrate at the time of the presentation of our Lord. The gospel today begins with Joseph and Mary being overwhelmed at what had been said to them. Well, because we're lovers of Scripture and because we were curious about, well, what was said to them, well, then we would have to back up. Still Luke chapter 2, but we'd back up about 10 verses. And we'd say, yes, I realize that the gospel today is a continuation of the passage that will come for the presentation. And that some of the verses in that those preceding lines are of Scripture are so necessary for me to understand what was happening today. Here Simeon is boldly prophesying about the coming of the Christ. And it's important to know in verse 25, before today's gospel, to know that Simeon is a devout and righteous Jew. He is one for whom the Word made flesh was presented to him, and he recognized that indeed he has seen the coming of the Messiah, the promised one. Verse 28, however, is critical, absolutely critical, not only to hear, but for us to see in our mind's eye. And verse 28 is just this. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Took him in his arms and praised God. A man, a creature, a devout Jew, received the enfleshed divinity into his arms. And it doesn't take much for us to realize that he didn't just take it as if it was a hot potato. He took our Lord, and he wouldn't have just held him out like some loaf of bread. He would have drawn him. He wouldn't have been able to say the tender things that he said unless he had drawn the Word made flesh, divinity enfleshed, in this beautiful child that Our Lady, in her generosity, put into his arms, gave him, and he was able to take and hold the God that he had always hoped to see. And how did he hold him? He held him closer than close. Closer than close, flesh to flesh. The Eucharistic prefiguring is already here. Flesh pressed to flesh. Divinity pressed to the bosom, to the heart of a grateful creature. Heart to heart. Cor ad cor. Loquitur, heart, speaks to heart. Throughout the entire Advent season, we heard the cry, make straight the path of the Lord. Where's the path supposed to go? Make the path straight to where? The path to our embrace. The path that leads directly to our heart. And if a good gift is to be given to us, and if we are to make straight this path to our heart, how shall we receive the gift? Shall we receive the gift any differently than Simeon? Shall we not take the gift with such gratitude, given directly from the arms of our Blessed Mother into our arms? And to do what? Hold him close. Hold him closer than close. The path to the heart, as St. Francis de Sales said, we have a God of the human heart. There is none of us who has ever heard anything in Scripture saying that our God comes to us and wants us to know him primarily through our brain, through our intellect. Yes, we must know about God, but God desires first and foremost that we know him at the level of the heart, that we know him on that much more visceral level, because we can know every detail. We can be steeped in facts about the Lord and yet never know him. Never have had the opportunity, never availed ourselves of the opportunity to allow that precious babe to be put in our arms, in each of our very arms, clearly seen in our mind's eye, in order to hold him close, closer than close, heart to heart, flesh to flesh. The reality of God with us. Nothing abstract. No intellectual concepts here. The reality of the relationship and intimacy that God wants with and for all of us. Recognizing Jesus is just not enough. And it's not me that says that. Our beloved St. Francis de Sales, Blessed Columba Marmion, and a host of others have agreed. Don't be afraid. Desire intimacy. Embrace Jesus. Let your mind's eye be clear. Be willing to take him. Hold him. Pull him close. Flesh to flesh. Heart to heart. Do not fear to hold God next to your heart. Do not deny our Blessed Mother the opportunity to offer you the greatest gift for you to hold just as she held. Here, will you take him? I trust you. Take him. Will you love him and hold him close? Not far from you, but close where it's warm. Will you desire intimacy? Will you accept the gift that our Lord most wanted to give us, the reality of his presence, the reality of him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, to be authentically, truthfully held tightly, held close, heart to heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.